Hello, everybody, and welcome to this Charity Digital podcast. I hope you're all keeping safe and well as we head into that time of the year where we're all head down in strategy, defining our goals for the next year and preparing to ask the board to help us achieve those goals. And that's what today's pod is all about. The pandemic forced charities into digital, but now many find themselves facing the new financial year on a bit of a digital cliff edge, looking out over the precipice, looking to the other side and trying to figure out a way to get across. More than two-thirds of charities now see digital as a prime concern, with many saying they plan to invest in digital infrastructure in response. But according to Onboard's board effectiveness survey from last year, only 32% of conversations in the boardroom are about digital transformation. So how can charities get more out of their boards to help build that bridge to the other side of that digital cliff? I may have totally overdone that metaphor now, but we've pulled together a cracking panel of trustees to help share some of their learnings from their time and working with charity boards. Joining me on the panel today, we have Claire Tavernier, who is, among many amazing things, a trustee of the BBFC and the chair of the board here at Charity Digital as well. And we have Thomas Pickford, fundraising trustee at the Latin America Foundation for the Future, and Josh Palmer, head of content on board. Hello, everybody. How are we doing? How are we getting on this Friday afternoon or morning, depending on where you are?
Hello, quite well. Thank you for having us.
Good. Well, it's brilliant to have you all with us today. I must caveat for the listeners, we are recording on a Friday evening and it's been a busy week. So we might not be our usually lively selves, but we've got our excuse in earlier if that's not the case. But glad to hear everybody's feeling good, feeling positive, feeling prepped. So that gets us off to a winning start. Why don't we start by hearing, you know, a little bit more about your charity, your role as a trustee, or in your case, company. Josh, Claire, why don't you kick us off and go first?
Yes, sure. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me. So I'm the chair of Charity Digital, as you said, Chris. So I don't think I need to introduce Charity Digital, hopefully, if people are listening to the podcast, but it's a charity that is mostly focused on helping other charities go through their digital transformation, it's interesting to look at the way the board of that charity functions to see if we're applying our own rules. I'm also, as you mentioned, on the board of the BBFC, the British Board of Film Classification, which is also a fairly tech-aware company. And it's been interesting to look at how they've invested in technology and gone through their own transformation over the last few years. But yes, it's lovely to be here.
Looking forward to hearing your insight and see how we stand up to our own scrutiny. So that's quite exciting. Josh, I'm going to come to you next to give a little bit of a different perspective of Onboard and what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, first of all. My name is Josh Palmer, head of content for Onboard. Onboard is a board management platform. It's been in a product in the market since 2011. Cloud-based, SaaS-based platform, with the majority of our customers are nonprofits. So,
brilliant. Great to have you and really look forward to what you can add to the conversation as well. And last but certainly not least, Thomas, tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here and great to meet everybody. So I am a fundraising trustee for Latin American Foundation for the Future. We're quite a small UK-based charity, but we work in Cusco in Peru, with local partners delivering quality education for disadvantaged young people. And we've been working on the ground there for about 13 years. And we're very excited to be kind of engaging with the digital transition at this moment in time. So it's great opportunity to be talking about that at the moment.
Champion, lovely to have you. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us. So we're here to talk about boards and digital. So let's get cracking. And I kind of want to start by readdressing the stat I mentioned in the intro, which is the stat from Onboard's board effectiveness survey from last year that mentioned that only 32% of conversations in the boardroom are about digital transformation. Now, given what we know about the mass digital transformation that happened as a result of COVID-19, and to overuse my metaphor again, the digital cliff edge side of things, what are the barriers? What's stopping these conversations coming into the boardroom? And Josh, I'm going to go to you first, given the fact it was your survey that highlighted this.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we found in last year's survey was that the majority of boards, about 79%, said that they felt they were more effective in the last 18 months, in that period of accelerated digital transformation that you mentioned. We also asked those boards, what was the primary reason that you felt more effective in your boards? And the primary reason cited last year was the shift to remote work and the shift to virtual meetings. So we found that really interesting. And we know that boards can meet now virtually. You're no longer limited to a location. You can recruit from a wider geography, so you can increase your diversity options, and you can bring in more experts and outside talent that you might not have had access to in the past.
Well, thanks. And then from a charity's perspective, Thomas, what do you think is stopping these conversations going on?
I think what first comes to mind is just time and capacity. I think from last perspective, especially we are only a small charity, which means that our trustees are actually very engaged in just the day-to-day running of our programs. So just having time and the capacity alongside, implementing our programs, governance, financial management, fundraising, to speak about digital is challenging, even though we know it's there, we know it has to be a priority. Finding the time in an already 2 hour long trustee meeting is hard.
Constant enemies, I feel like, aren't they? Constant enemies of progress, time and resource. But yeah, I'm going to move to you now, Claire. Claire, what do you think has been stopping some of these conversations?
Well, actually, I think that 32% or whatever, a third of the time spent on digital transformation isn't that bad. I think because I've been on too many board meetings, and as Thomas said, they are very busy. You know, we have to go through the financials, we have to go through the programs, we have to go through staff issues, we have to go through, all of the governance elements that have to take place in board meetings. And so I actually think it's that that applies to the charity sector as well, which I don't know if it is, Josh, and I would love to know. It's actually quite a good number. So I was relatively pleasantly surprised that it was that high. I think, so time and resource, time, as Thomas said, is definitely a big issue. Then the second big issue is understanding and skills within the board members. But then I think the third big issue is that I don't think that there are very well established ways of working to deal with digital transformation at board level. So one of the issues that I am seeing is that people, even when you have digital experts on the board, which thankfully is happening more and more, although probably not as much as it should be, they tend to be operational experts, and the board isn't meant to be operational, as you know, it's a non-executive board. And so finding the level at which a board is meant to be supporting digital transformation efforts is I find something that is still being established, or certainly in the organizations that I work with, it's still an ongoing process. And I think that's a very interesting thing to explore.
Yeah, just to pick up on that a little bit more, then, because we often spend a lot of time telling, organizations to be brave when it comes to digital transformation. It seems like we need to sort of push that through to the board level as well. One of the things you mentioned there that I really picked up on was having that level of expertise at the board level and being able to recruit, I guess, at the right level to get that level of digital on your board that can help you with your progress and through your digital transformation. What can be done, do you think, as a charity looking to recruit digital expertise, what can be done to make that easier? And Claire, I guess I'll throw that back to you first, since it was your point.
I mean, I think to be honest, I think it's not, it just needs to stop being something that you're willing to compromise on. As in, and I'm saying this as a general theme, I don't think you should be recruiting digital trustees. I think every trustee that is recruited should have some level of digital understanding, because actually it's quite dangerous. Obviously, a digital trustee is better than nothing at all. But there is a tendency when there is a digital trustee that every single digital issue is going to be thrown at that person, in the same way that, the treasurer gets all the financial stuff. And that means that removes some of the responsibility and the accountability from the rest of the board. And I think that's quite dangerous, given how central this is. And when people recruit trustees on boards, they often have some non-negotiable things, like you have to have some level of understanding of charity governance, or you know, you need to understand the work that we do, you need to have a personal investment in that role, or whatever it is. And I think again, I'm not saying they need to be digital experts, but a level of understanding of digital issues, I think, should be a prerequisite and one that people shouldn't be willing to compromise around. And that's, we're not quite there yet. And that I think, is what needs to change.
It's a journey, isn't it? And I think it reminds me of something we say quite often around digital transformation itself, where, you know, or digital strategy, even you look at transformation, you look at strategies, it's that the back to that age old question, should all strategies be digital, or is it a digital strategy? You know, the element of teams within organizations, should be they have digital run through it throughout them, not a digital team in that sense, where I think it's very similar to what you've been saying at a board level, where we want that expertise to run through the additional expertise of the people we've brought around the table for their own purpose. Great point, but I also agree it's a journey. I think it's stepping stones to get there as well, absolutely. Josh, I can see you itching to say something, so I'm going to come to you next.
Yeah, I had a point just to support that in a sense from this year's Board Effectiveness Survey, which we just wrapped up on, is that we asked boards to not only self-identify what did they feel they were more effective or less effective in the last 12 months, but also across a number of factors. So continuity, governance and strategy, board diversity, attracting the younger demographic. The most interesting thing to me was that the majority of boards, the most effective characteristic that they marked themselves on was continuity and kind of continuation of kind of business as usual. And then the least effective factor for most boards was attracting a younger demographic. So I think there's a real, there's a lesson in there somewhere that kind of the conservative nature and then the continuity factor in boards may prevent or preclude you from being able to adopt digital strategies more quickly.
Yeah, no, great point. Kind of come back to something on that in just a little minute, but Thomas, I want to make sure we get to hear from you as well on this point.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think you made a good point about whether we have a digital strategy that stands alone or whether it's integrated into charity-wide strategies. At LAF, we have a five-year strategy that we work on and then annual work plans within that. And I'm very aware that our five-year strategy was built before COVID and before we had this massive jump to digital. And I do think there's a task now for charities to go back to those and make sure that digital runs throughout that strategy and reflects the new reality that we've been able to adapt to. And I totally agree with you, Claire, that all trustees should have a level of competence to do with digital, but I also think there's a strong place for champions within the board. Someone who can really drive that forwards, because one thing that we found is we did appoint a data and digital trustee, and that alone, just having it specifically there in writing as a member at the top of the minutes, meant that we were all very much aware of it, and it became a standing item on the agenda in our trustee meetings because there was someone there pushing it forwards, and they were the ones who were able to engage the trustees who were perhaps a little bit more conservative about making changes, and able to encourage them to do so. And it has made a big difference.
Oh, and I would totally agree with that, Thomas. Actually, it's a great sort of extension of my point. Yes, you're right. At the BBFC, we have an amazing, and it's not a trustee, it's a director because of the structure of the organization, but who has this depth of experience. And while everybody on the board has a good level of understanding, having him, and we ended up creating a subcommittee that he chairs that looks specifically at these issues in depth separately from the board and then reports back to the board, that's made a huge difference. So I agree that the combination of both these things is preferable.
Absolutely. Sorry, Josh, did you want to say something there?
I was just going to add to Thomas's point that as you know, we're a board management provider, technology provider. Obviously, our most successful customers in terms of implementing new technology are those who adopt a change management strategy approach when they're adopting new technology. And they say, these are the rules of engagement. Every board director will adopt this new piece of technology, and we're going to use this as the source of truth going forward. The customers who are least successful in that adoption of new technology do not have a stated kind of policy or document about the change management that's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. So, and sorry for talking over you. We still haven't cracked this podcast Zoom thing. We'll get there in the end, I'm sure. So just to bring it back to that stat, because obviously we mentioned the 32%, and we also put the sort of light on trustees straight away and say, what can you do more? I also want to ask the sort of reverse side of that question. What do you think charities could be doing more and charity leaders could be doing more to get more digital out of their boards, essentially the boards that already exist? Thomas, I want to come to you first. What could charities in general be doing a little bit more to help themselves here?
I think there's a big role to play just in terms of once you've integrated better digital tools into your governance, I do think that kind of trickles down into how you use it elsewhere, whether that's in programs or when you start to use fundraising technologies or human resource management. That's one thing that we have seen in that as we've made this jump to digital more, you know, we've gone online more, we use Google Drive and rather than WhatsApp use Slack and all this, and it's actually encouraged us to be better at mainstreaming technology in what we do. So we use a platform now for our fundraising database and human resource database, beneficiary database that we weren't as on top of before. So I do think there's this kind of trickle down effect that happens once you start to mainstream using technology within the charity, not just at the board level. So I think that's something that charities can think about in terms of, you know, where you've already made a change, how can that then influence different areas within the charity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And Claire, Penny, for your thoughts, and I promise I won't take it personally.
One thing that, and we do this at Charity Digital, although I think we could do more of it. One thing that I found very effective is mentoring. So using the trustees to mentor staff, and you know that has general benefits because the trustees get more engaged, they understand the work of the organization much better because they get to, you know, talk to staff. So as the chair, I'm very happy for the trustees to get closer to, you know, to what's going on, because they also have a slightly different perspective on it, because they will be talking to different members of staff. But if you are lucky enough to have trustees that have managed digital projects in other organizations, and you can get that through to the staff on the ground through mentoring, or, you know, it could be ad hoc, or it could be a regular relationship. I think that's a really good way to use trustees. I think it's not a great demand on their time, and in my experience, they're very open to it, and that's, I would encourage everybody to try to set up this sort of arrangement. I also agree with Thomas, but I would go further and say, and this is now putting the responsibility back on the board rather than on the organization, is to say, you know, the board should feel free, or feel the responsibility to ask for data. And I think sometimes when you're on the board, you're sort of hesitating because, you know, charities tend to be very stretched and it's already quite a big burden to do all of this stuff that they do for the board meetings. And we're all very aware of that. But actually asking for the right data, relevant data that's organized in a way that's understandable for everybody, is I think if you do this as a board, it's a benefit to everybody, because the end game will be the charity thinking about their data in a different way, communicating their data in a different way generally, and hopefully getting more out of it. So that's, I think, something to think about.
Anything like that, Josh?
Yeah, I would tack on that that's kind of the essential promise of digital transformation, right? Is that you have actionable data that you can use for insights and to be able to optimize your operations. And I would even say that, you know, digital transformation and data probably stir fear in the hearts of some trustees or board members, because it just seems like a big, you know, challenging thing that I don't know very much about. But data can be something as simple as a rating, like how did we do on the meeting? 4 stars out of 5, 3 stars out of 5. You can use those to measure effectiveness and your the operation and the execution of a board meeting, and put that into future use and continually improve with that data.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Demystifying the, you know, when I say data, I mean, just, you know, I want stats on users. Yeah. Chris, I want stats on users. You know, you do provide that. But, you know, I want those and I want them on a regular basis. And I, you know, as a board member, I think I should have access to a spreadsheet that shows me updated stats on our users, and that I can, you know, we're not talking about designing a whole new system. It's just, there is stuff there and it would be good to put it in a form that we can hold access and draw conclusions from. And you do that, Chris.
So to say, you made me blush there. I don't blush very often.
if I could just add as well, I think you make a really good point that, you know, boards should feel comfortable to ask for this kind of data. And yeah, I think one of the things that we've learned over these past 2 years is the value of spending time looking at your internal programs and systems. Because I think, especially for small charities, there's a fear of spending too much time on internal programs when we should be making impacts, you know, through our external projects and activities. But what COVID allowed us to do, because our programs did slow down, it gave us a little bit of space to look internally and start reflecting and actually building these systems that are going to help us to get that data and monitor more effectively. And actually that's given us even greater insight into the value of digital. So I think a lot of charities kind of fear that kind of introspection and spending time internally, but it pays off and it actually means we're actually better at doing our external programs. And I think that's a really important message and something that we've learned a lot recently. And, you know, kudos to our program managers on the ground who have really spent that time and effort to look into our internal programs. And that's actually make us a lot more effective at our external activities.
Yeah, and I just want to draw that back to Claire's original point, actually, about closeness with the board and leadership teams as well. Because I can vouch for that on a personal note and say that having that available at Charity Digital does make those interactions a lot smoother, a lot friendly, a lot less daunting in a lot of ways as well, where I think there would be if there were less frequent, you know, one-off interactions where, you know, there's a sense of involvement and sharing and learning at that as well. It also allows us to stick our head above the parapet safely in that sense as well, and kind of come up for air and get a different perspective on things, as you often don't have when you're so deep in the weeds of this stuff on the day to day, and you're so busy, you're working on so many things at once. To be able to step back and get a different perspective helps just bridge that gap, I think, and to tech, data, and everything else that comes with that, to be quite honest. Brill. Well, I want us to sort of switch focus a little bit. And more, I want to move on to sort of board diversity on the board itself. And, you know, this is something that's been an important topic for a number of years now, but it's something that seems to have changed very little. It's estimated that 7 in 10 trustees are men and the median age is around 61 years, while the Charity Commission estimates that only 0.5% of the trustee population is made up of 18 to 24-year-olds as well, and approximately 9 in 10 are white. Obviously, where, you know, it goes without saying, we're not the most representative panel here, which I think shows how, you know, the issue in practice in a lot of ways. And we've already sort of talked about how the diverse expertise of trustees can help improve the sort of direction of a charity. But have orgs generally woken up to the importance of diversity as a whole at a board level? You know, the stats are pretty damning. You know, if the makeup of, you know, a charity's board remains the same over a number of years, how can we start to expect different results? What should we be doing as charities? Claire, I'm gonna go to you first.
So the first thing I'm going to say is that those 61-year-old white men, you know, we couldn't do this without them. And I know there's been a lot of bashing of, and it's true. Listen, I was up to recently on 4 boards, and they were, thankfully, none of them was what you've just described, but I have seen those boards and they're not the most efficient. But, you know, there are a lot of charities in the UK, and without this group of trustees that have been doing this work, which is unpaid and quite hard work, you know, we wouldn't be there. And they've worked very, very hard, especially over the last 2 years. So I'm just saying this because I do want to recognize that. It's not that they're not doing a great job. It is what you just said, Chris, which is that we all know, and I think charities know, boards know, that there is more richness, there is more effectiveness, there is more productivity when the board is more diverse. I've seen this reflected at conferences. I've seen this talked about at every type of board, you know, management seminar I've been to. So it's, I don't think anybody would question it. I think what you do about it has proven more difficult than people thought. And there are lots of reasons for it. Somebody once told me, if you put a poster for a product always in the same place, and then you're surprised that only the same people buy it, you know, you shouldn't be surprised. Maybe you should put the poster up in different places. And there is a little bit of that in charity recruitment. You know, there's not as much outreach as there could be. And therefore, it's always the same fairly, you know, homogeneous group of people that gets to see or gets contacted. There is also perhaps an emphasis on things that are less important than you may think. So, you know, there's I've seen a lot of charities say we would like somebody with board experience or with charity experience. And that immediately, obviously, cuts out a lot of, especially young people, because obviously they're not going to have that. There are occasionally references to, you know, years spent in the industry or jobs held before. And I think working on making trustee recruitment inclusive throughout is a very big first step. And there are now great recruitment agencies that specialize in that, and that will go out and actively look for different profiles. So it's possible, but it's not always this. I mean, and Thomas will vouch for that. Sometimes there's no budget for a recruitment agency, and people, you know, there's no money. And so it's a question of who you know. And that's a very dangerous road to go down if you're trying to increase diversity, because the whole point is to bring people you don't know. So I think it's getting better. I think it is very much understood that it needs to get even better faster. And I think, as very often with the charity sector, there is a resource and budget issue at play. It's not, you know, people actively trying to block this. It's just harder than they think it's going to be.
Anything to add to that, Thomas?
Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of the resource and budgeting, it's really hard to find that to be able to recruit externally. I would say that at LAF, we're really lucky. We have eight trustees, two are men. We have a really diverse board, and I do think it really makes a difference. I would also add that I do think there's a role to play in demystifying trustees and boards. Before I became involved with LAF, I didn't really know what one was. And if I'd seen an advert for it, I probably wouldn't have engaged with it, because what does that do? What does that mean? And I do think that there is a role to play in this, in just raising awareness of what trustees do, what it involves, what their responsibilities are. And also targeting that towards new audiences. I do think university students, university campuses are great places that charities can be recruiting new trustees, you know, getting fresh blood in, and targeting diverse people who have new skills, whether that's digital or anything like that. You know, we've been talking a lot about getting people in with the expertise. Young people have that expertise. And I agree, Claire, that we often have too high expectations of what we want from trustees when we put out those job descriptions. And actually, someone who doesn't have years and years of experience could be just as valuable in trying to bring in a bit of diversity and a bit of fresh blood into an organisation. So I think reaching out to young people, whether that's on campuses, but also, just when we do our outreach, when we're trying to recruit, don't just put out the ad, but explain what the trustee is, does, and what they represent.
Yeah, I think that's a really good addition. And Josh, I'm going to come to you. Anything from onboard's perspective?
Yeah, obviously, in our most recent survey, the thing that boards found themselves least effective on was attracting a younger demographic, and that it's our belief that that includes a more diverse demographic. And to the point earlier that boards are really good at continuity and conservative kind of progress. And as Claire mentioned, the proclivity to ask your network versus to do the hard work of we're going to start this recruitment process earlier so we can have more time to recruit a diverse candidate typically doesn't happen from our perspective. So I would say if your board is truly interested in creating a more diverse profile of its trustees or its board members, one of the first things that you can do as well is document that in a bylaw and a statement from the board and say, this is a board initiative, a board level initiative. So when you revisit that topic, you can measure if it's been completed or not.
Yes, and to that point, I'll going back to data. It's a good idea to do diversity board diversity audits every year or every couple of years and publish those because you know that's very visible and it's a good motivation.
Go on, sorry, Josh.
I was going to say, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we look at is and recommend is a skills matrix for diversity and for other, you know, attributes or characteristics of your board members. But if you can identify that with data and say, hey, we have a gap here, we need to fill this gap soon because it's, you know, it's demonstrably there. I would agree with Claire.
Brilliant. But yeah, it's about making a part of your values, isn't it? It's should run throughout the whole organization from the ground floor all the way up to the board level. Mm. So totally agree with what everybody said. And thanks very much for sharing that. Really appreciate it. I just want to sort of move on to wrap up with a cheeky bit of future scoping. You know, we're about to head into the 21-22 financial year. It's there, it's on the horizon. So going into these big conversations, what should those boardroom discussions be focused on? We talked about what they're not focused on a little bit earlier. So I want to bring it back full circle and close off by chatting about what should they be focused on. Josh, I'm going to come back to you to kick us off there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just going to parrot the results of what our survey responses told me. I don't have any original ideas in that regard, but the four biggest areas of improvement for the next 12 months that survey respondents noted with us was increasing board member diversity, getting better at tech utilization and innovation, becoming more engaged and involved and having attentive board members. And then the last factor would be streamlining agendas and focusing on board level strategy. So, yeah.
Short and sweet. I love it. Thanks very much for that. And Thomas, what about you?
I would probably echo everything that Josh said. I think the one thing that is worth thinking about, and we've been talking about digital, but also hybridity. We've spent the last 2 years online, but we also need to now think about what's best done in real life, so to speak, and what's best kept online. And I think there are some interesting conversations around that, what works best where. So that's something that we're looking into. And I think another thing is we're only just now seeing, in our programs at least, the kind of long-term outcomes of the pandemic coming out. And I think boards especially need to be taking time to be assessing these long-term impacts and projecting them forwards into annual work plans and strategies. And that's something that we're focusing on a lot at the moment, is just not forgetting the past 2 years have just happened. I know it's easy to because things move so quickly, but there's a lot of lessons learned and there are still impacts which are working themselves out. So we're also looking on that over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I think that's really important, actually. I think that's a very good sort of soundbite for a lot of different things when it comes to hybrid, because it's not as simple as everybody thinks it's going to be. You know, it's two different things doing thing, one thing in physical, one thing virtually. So yeah, absolutely. Agree with that. And Claire, I promise I'm not trying to get the inside track here. What sort of discussions should we be having?
Well, I think everything that's just been said, I totally agree with, you know, and I think they're all excellent points. And I'm like, oh, gosh, it's really hard to be last. But there are a few things. The first thing is many organizations and therefore many boards, and I would say particularly in the charity sector, although I think probably everywhere, have been in crisis management mode for the last 2 years. And I think that's important to remember, because that means that many strategies have just been thrown out of the window, and you know, it's been survival, what do we do? And we now is a really good time to start planning And I would say for me on the boards that I'm on, where things now things seem to be stabilizing, and I'm touching wood everywhere, you know, it's going to be okay. Let's regroup. As Thomas said, let's learn the lessons from what we've just lived through. And let's start planning. And we may have to change those plans, but you know, that's the role of the board, is to help set the long-term vision and the long-term strategy of organizations. And that's not been something that's been front of mind for the last 2 years with very good reasons, but I think it should be now. And what I'd love to see, to go back to the theme of today, is that planification and that work being supported by the right digital tools, whether it's a data tracking mechanism, whether it's a fundraising pipeline, you know, visualization, etc., so that it's more efficient, so that it's easier to change if something changes, which it probably will. And I think based on what everybody's learned over the last 2 years, hopefully that should be easier to set up. So those are my thoughts.
And they're great ones to end on. So thank you very much, Claire. And thanks very much, everybody, for listening. Thank you very much, Claire, Thomas, Josh, and the onboard team as well for supporting the podcast. Really enjoyed the chat. I hope you all have too. I hope you as listeners have all learned something. I hope you've got some good little tidbits, tips and tricks to take back to your boards as we enter the new financial year. Good people of the panel, I shall let you go. Enjoy your weekends. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much, everybody. See you next time.